This will be, I believe, the final message in our series called The Praying Christian. It's the final message, and it's called The Prayer of Commitment. Or we might say it another way, the casting prayer. The prayer of commitment, or to say it another way, the casting prayer. Okay, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And I'll go straight into the word so that we just kind of just get into our the message this morning. 1 Peter 5, 7. We have it on the screen as well. But I encourage all of you, bring your Bibles to church. I hope you're a Bible-carrying Christian. Amen. Because you have it on your phone. I know, praise God, that you got it on your phone. But I want to encourage everyone, you know, to at least get a Bible, you know, on Sunday and just bring it. Amen. I've got the Bible on my phone, and I use my phone all the time, you know, to read the Bible. But I think it's good, you know, at least get into that old tradition of carrying a Bible. Amen. Praise God. You never know. You can whack the devil with it sometimes. So anyway, that's a bit off topic. But anyway, let's just go into 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, let's start from verse 6, Junior. If you could start from verse 6. Okay, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Just that verse, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Over the years, and even recently, I've noticed that some of my friends have passed away. I think personally earlier, you know, earlier than they should have passed away. I know that our life is in the hands of God. But I've seen many Christians and even some of my friends pass away when I think they shouldn't have passed away. One of my very close friends, he came in from another city to take over a troubled church in Nandi, and the church was quite troubled. They were going through some splits and some other things. And so what happened was that when he came in, he told me after 3 years, he said, you know, Pastor Conan, since I've been here for 3 years, there's been 6 splits in our church. 6 splits in our church. And I was really shocked. And I said, how do you do it, Pastor? He said, no, I just keep going. I said, wow. So last year, I think, or was it the year before, he called me. He said, please, Pastor, I need your prayers. I said, what happened? He said, my assistant pastor is trying to take over the church. And he actually locked me out of my office. I said, what? And so this was going on. So we were praying for him, the pastor's network. We were praying for our fellow pastor. And so he got reinstated. And so everything settled down. But shortly after that, I think it was in the beginning of this year, he was called to go to Suva, to a larger church, because that church was having troubles as well. So he was like a fixer in the movement. So he went across to Suva in this large church. There was a lot of troubles going on, especially financial issues. So he went in to that church. Within a month or 2 months, he had a stroke and later died. Within a month or 2 months. So his last 6-7 years, I'm sorry to say, about one of my very close friends, he died earlier than he should have. And I personally believe it was because of the stress that he was going through on a daily basis. He just carried a lot more than I think, you know, really that he should have carried. And this is why I sort of bring this again. I know I spoke to you the last time, 2 weeks ago, last week, the Planet Shaker spoke. But, you know, I spoke to you the other week, and I spoke to you about a similar thing. And I'd just like to touch on it again. And, you know, it's so important for us, because I really think that if you want to pray for your needs to be met and you want to believe God for something, I really believe that worry and faith doesn't go together. Are you with me? And I think that if we don't deal with this issue of stress and how to, you know, deal with it and walk with it scripturally, I think for a large part we will get sicker earlier, or we'll pass away earlier than when we should. This is what Dr. Don Colbert, a Christian doctor, he wrote a book called Stressless, in which he tackles the problem of stress in our society. Listen to a few observations he made as a doctor. This is what he said. Did you know that 75 to 90% of all visits to a primary care physician's office or doctor's office are related to stress disorders? That's according to the American Institute of Stress. Now, what's happening in the US will to a large extent happen here. Maybe Fiji, we're a bit more laid back, but I think to a large extent it'll happen here as well. This is what he said. Did you know that 75 to 90% of all visits to a doctor's office are related to stress disorders? That's according to the American Institute of Stress. What is driving us to the shelves of pharmacy? Feelings of stress. Americans are consuming 5 billion tranquilizers, 5 billion barbiturates, 3 billion amphetamines, and 16 tons of aspirin every year. Much of this medicine has been taken to help alleviate stress or the resulting headaches and pain associated with stress. And a lot can be said of Fiji. Fiji has a lot of issues too concerning stress. You know that a lot of people die because of NCDs? You know what's NCDs, right? Non-communicable diseases. It's not something that's, it's not something that's, no one knows best, but anyway, but it's basically lifestyle disease, stress-related, worry, all those kind of things, even diet to some extent. But I just want to bring this to us because I feel that we can deal with it in a biblical way, so that we don't have to die younger than when we should. We don't have to get sicker. We don't have to get sick. And a lot of people, they struggle with this. And they don't know how to sleep properly at night. They don't know how to get rid of those headaches, migraines and stuff. I think a lot of it is related to stress and carrying cares. When God has given us an antidote, He's given us a cure. And He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And so I just feel that, if we are going to be people of faith, if we're going to pray the prayer of faith, then we need to deal with worry, because I don't think you can pray the prayer of faith effectively if you've got worry operating in your life at the same time. So I think God puts this in His word to deal first with worry, so that when you pray, when you pray faith, your faith works effectively. I believe God put this so that you can deal with this worry issue, this care issue, anxiety issue, that once you deal with it, your faith prayer will work effectively. Are you with me? And this is a different kind of prayer. There's a prayer of commitment, there's a prayer of faith. There's a prayer of, surrender or consecration. And sometimes we mix all these prayers together and we wonder, why is my faith not working? Some people say, if it be your will, when praying for headache or something, Lord, if it's your will, heal this person of headache. And they think that they're praying a very scriptural prayer. Jesus prayed, if it be your will, but He knew the will of God, didn't He, in the Garden of Gethsemane? But He didn't say, if it be your will, at the tomb of Lazarus. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Bang. Lazarus came forth. So there are different kinds of prayer, and I believe there's different kind of rules as well. It's like trying to play soccer with the rugby rules. And you get all confused because you're trying to play soccer and you're passing the ball and the ref is there. Poof, prr, prr. And so when you're struggling with worry and you're trying to pray the prayer of faith, thinking that worry is going to be taken away, you'll struggle with your faith. But there's a prayer of commitment that takes care of worry. Hello, are you still with me? Because it's so important for us to understand that. If you apply the wrong rules to the wrong kind of prayer, then what happens is you get all confused. And so that's why I think it's important we understand, we know how to cast our worries and needs to the Lord, and then when we believe by faith, our faith works. So I just want to bring to you some points just to help us to just know how to do this kind of prayer more effectively so that we can sleep better at night, we can cut down on our medication, you know, Panadols, we can sort of empty our cupboards, more of Panadol, we can sort of do a bit better in life. And so let's just take a few moments and just very quickly just go through these points. The first thing that I want to highlight to us is that, well, the Bible says casting all your care. It doesn't say casting some of your care. It says all your care. It says casting your cares. All your care. That means that if you have a worry, you have 2-3 worries about 2-3 things, you don't just cast off 2 things, but you keep the one other worry. It says casting all. Amen. And you cast it once and for all. Meaning, like, if you're struggling, let's say, you know, you have a problem with someone in your family. Let's say, you know, you know, like your children, and then there's a child that's sort of grown up a bit, not listening and all. You know, so you're a bit worried about how they'll, you know, whether they'll do better in school or something. And so you cast that to the Lord. You cast that to the Lord. But you cast it once to the Lord. Amen? Let's say you have a health issue. So you cast it to the Lord. Lord, I've got this issue with headaches or something. And I've got this issue with migraines. So I cast it to the Lord. But you cast it once. Amen? You don't come again tomorrow and you cast it again. And then you come again on Wednesday and recast it. And then on Thursday and you recast it. But you cast it once and for all to the Lord. Now I'm not saying if your hand gets sore on Tuesday that you say, no, I cast it on Sunday. But you cast only your migraine to the Lord, but not your hand sore. You understand? Right? And so you cast it once. Now, if we could look at this verse says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, this is what the Amplified Version says. There's a translation called the Amplified Bible. And this is what it says. Casting all your cares. Listen to what it says. It amplifies it. Eh? It says, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns, once and for all. On him, for he cares about you. With deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. That's the Amplified. He says, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. On him, for he cares about you, notice this, with deepest affection. That means right deep in his heart, he cares for you. Then he says, he watches over you very carefully. Isn't it? Sounding like a father. Amen? I watch my daughter very carefully. Amen? Especially if she goes next door. I'm timing her. I'm watching out for her. Because I care for her very affectionately. And I watch her very carefully. Amen? That sounds like a father. God is our father. Amen? So he's affectionately caring for you very deeply, and he watches over you very carefully. When you think you're alone and you think, man, you know, I'm going through this issue, you know what? God knows it very carefully. He's watching over you very carefully. So you cast it to God, and it says, once and for all. You don't have to keep doing it again and again. Now, the same word for casting is the same word used when the disciples took the coats and they threw it upon the donkey. The same Greek word that is used for casting upon the Lord. It's the same word when Jesus was about to go through the city gates of Jerusalem and they took their coats and they put it, they cast it or they threw it upon the donkey. They took the coats and they put it upon. It's like us taking our worries and our anxieties and putting it upon somebody else. Now, you'll notice something, that once you cast something to the Lord, the enemy will come back again. And he will attack you. He'll lie to you. And he'll tell you, oh, remember, the bailiff is still coming on Monday. Oh, looks like that sore looks very bad. Oh, what about that issue? You still have to deal with that relationship issue. When the enemy comes back to you, that is why it says once and for all, you have to remember, when did you cast it? Did you cast it last week, yesterday? You have to tell the enemy, I did it last week. It's with Jesus. It's with the Lord. I don't have to keep going and, you know, keep worrying over it. I've given it to Jesus. There are two things to remember when you cast it to the Lord. Number one is, there's no one greater than God. Number two is, he cares about you deeply. So when you cast something to the Lord, you must realize that there's no one greater than God. And he cares for you very deeply. So you can trust him. So when you give something to him, really give something to him. Give it to him. Amen? It's like that missionary in the Philippines. He was driving with his truck, and it was an empty tray kind of truck. You know those cab, and then he's got an empty tray at the back? He was driving along in the Philippines, and he saw a farmer that he knew. And the farmer was laden down with his heavy weight tied to his back. He was carrying something, maybe some crops or something, and he was struggling along the road with his heavy, heavy weight. So the missionary stopped the truck, and he told the farmer, you can jump into the back. And so the farmer went onto the back, and the missionary carried on. After a while, the missionary looked in the mirror, and he saw the farmer. He thought that the farmer, when he jumped into the back, would take off the weight and put it on the tray, and then he would jump up after the weight and relax on the tray. But when the farmer jumped onto the tray, he kept kneeling with his weight still tied to his back. And that's the picture of many Christians today. We have given our life to Jesus, but we haven't given our weight to Jesus. We've given everything to Christ except the cares and the worries that we carry. It's great to be in Christ. We are born again, new creatures in Christ. Our sins are forgiven, chains are broken, and yet we still carry the weight of those cares. Our shoulders are very small. They carry a limited amount of weight. But the shoulders of Jesus are large and awesome. They can carry the weight of the world and the universe. They can carry you. Amen. Number two, first you cast it once and for all to the Lord. Number two, I spoke to you about this last week from Philippians 4, 6 to 7. You can read that for us. When we have cast something to the Lord, when we've let the Lord know what it is, we begin to praise him for it. We begin to thank him for taking care of that need. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament is the word yada. And it means that when you come before the Lord, you begin to praise him. The word yada means to stretch your hand in thanksgiving, praise, and confession. So when you come before the Lord and you surrender something to God, you also give him thanks by extending your hand and giving him thanks. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, this is what it says. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't be worried. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Notice that? With thanksgiving. That means when you cast something to the Lord, you follow it with thanksgiving. You yada before the Lord. An outstretched arm. So I actually make it a practice in my own life. When I give something to the Lord, I say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Lord, I really need your help, and I surrender it to you. I turn it over to you. I stretch my hand out and I say, Lord, thank you that you will take care of the issue. I thank you that, Lord, you are in control. I thank you, God. I don't have to worry about this anymore. Amen? That's how you do it. You yada, and you praise him for taking care of that. You glorify him and praise him. By doing the yada, you're actually stopping the enemy from troubling you with worry. Let me give you an example. A man was filled with worry. So he went to his psychiatrist, went to his doctor. And he told the doctor his problem. He said, you know, when I sleep at night, I always think there's something under the bed. I'm always troubled by something under the bed. I know some of you as well. Every time I sleep, well, when I grew up as a young boy, I used to think there's something under the bed as well. So before I slept, I used to put my hand under the bed. I used to go to the closet and move the clothes. So this man, he told the psychiatrist, whenever I sleep at night, I always think there's something under the bed. Can you help me? So the psychiatrist said, sure, I can help you. But it will mean that you have to come and see me once a week for the whole year. And it'll cost you $50 a session. So the man turned around, he went, and the doctor never saw him again for a long time. After a while, the doctor met him in the street. And the doctor asked him, after I met you, I never saw you again. What's happened to your problem? He said, oh, doc, don't worry. I'm free now. And it cost me nothing. He said, what? What happened? He said, I met a friend. And I told him my problem. And the friend told me, I can fix your problem. He said, how can you fix my problem? And my friend told me, just cut the legs off your bed. What a great solution, isn't it? If there's no legs on the bed, you don't have to look under the bed. And you know, praising God is like cutting the legs off your bed. It's like making sure has an insulation against the devil's lies that there's no more under the bed. You've committed something to the Lord and you cut the legs off. So now worry can no longer come and trouble you under your bed. Don't forget to praise him. Amen? Because that's something that is unnatural to your normal mind, to your natural person. Normally when we worry, we naturally like to continue to worry. But when you praise the Lord, even though it's unnatural, yet it's a spiritually natural thing. When you praise the Lord, you actually invite the Lord to take over completely. When you praise the Lord, you're actually telling the Lord, here's an open door, welcome Jesus. It's like you saying, Lord Jesus, I need you, and I recognize that your power is greater than mine, and I'm letting you deal with the issue. Amen, everyone. So it's very important for us to understand the power of praise and thanksgiving. Whenever you go through a difficult situation, cast it to the Lord once and for all. Even if you have to note down the date you cast it, Monday or Sunday today, on this date, 8th of September, I cast this issue to the Lord. Write it down if you have to. Put it aside. When worry comes, say, no, I cast it to the Lord on Sunday, the 8th of September. And you start extending your hand in praise. Lord, I praise you. I worship you. By an action, you actually provide a memory for your muscle. Amen? Do you realize that? Your muscle has got memory. It translates to a part of your brain. Whenever you extend your hand, you actually memorize, you know, you're actually telling your brain that you've done this. You actually praise the Lord for taking care of the issue. It's a muscle memory. Do you know you have muscle memory? Whenever you train for the marathon, you have to actually, before the marathon of 42 kilometers, I haven't run 42, I've run 21. But whenever we train, we have to actually do long distances before the event. You know why? We're telling our muscle, this is how it will be. We're teaching our muscles that memory of the road, the pounding, the wind, and everything else. So when we go through the actual event, our muscles spring into action because it knows what to do. So whenever you praise the Lord, I'll say, you know, do some action. When you come to church on a Sunday morning, amen, you're feeling down, do some action. Praise the Lord, amen. Clap with your hands. Why? That's a muscle memory. You're telling the Lord, Lord, welcome. And you're telling your mind and your body, Jesus is in control. Amen. I told you the last time, the opposite of yada is to withdraw your hand and to wring it like this, as if you're worried. Whenever you do this and whenever you wring your hand, you're telling your whole body and your system, I'm finished. I'm done for. But when you extend your hand, you're actually telling your muscle, telling your bodies, Jesus is in control. Amen. The final point is this, and this is so important, is this. When you cast something to the Lord and you begin to praise Him, God will do His part. But you see, you still need to do your part. Your part is important. Just because we gave that issue to the Lord doesn't mean we just stay home, sit on a nice settee, and everything else will be taken care of. Let's say you have this relationship problem and you have an issue going on. Cast it to the Lord. Praise the Lord that God, you are taking care of this relationship, and I know that, Lord, you know better than me, but you see, you still need to go and forgive. That's your part. It's not that you cast it to the Lord and you still have unforgiveness in your heart. It's not that you've given it all to the Lord and the Lord will touch that person to forgive you. No, you need to do your part first. That means when you cast it to the Lord, you still forgive that person. Let's say you got a financial issue. You cast it to the Lord. You praise Him for helping you and taking care of that issue, but you still need to budget your funds. Amen? It doesn't mean you cast it to the Lord and you live like a millionaire. Are you with me? It doesn't mean that you do anything with your money. You still have to budget your funds. You still have to give to the Lord what belongs to Him. Pay your tithes. You still have to be generous. You still have to do what you're supposed to do. Your part. It's like when somebody has an addiction problem. They have a problem with drugs or alcohol or pornography. And they say, Lord, I cast it to you. They give thanks to the Lord. But on the shelf at home is the packet of cigarettes. At the shelf at home, in the fridge, a stubbies of beer. Or the grog is hidden in the wash house. Or the internet is always on. And they have easy access to pornography sites. You see, you still have to do your part. You cast it to the Lord. You give Him thanks. But you still have to go home and throw out the cigarettes. You still have to go home and empty the alcohol into the toilet. Amen? Wow, very quiet at this moment. You still have to go home, and some of you might have to off your internet for the next 2 months. Off it. Why? Because you can't handle it. You have to retrain yourself to live a holy life without pornography. There's something I was sharing with my wife. I was saying, you know, Bui, there's an issue with Facebook apps. Wow, I'm on dangerous ground. So should I hide behind here while I tell you this? But you know, there's an issue with Facebook. I always tell my wife, you know, I've hardly ever used the apps. And I've only used it, I think, the first few times when we were doing live streaming. It never allowed us to use the browser. We had to use the apps. And I noticed something. I mean, we've actually stopped doing live streaming now. And there's a reason for that. It's because when you do live streaming, you have to go through the app. So I have to, you know, I have to update it, install it, update it, whatever. And I found something that when you go into the videos on the app, those videos actually, under your video that you're trying to watch, there are sometimes pornographic stuff that comes up sometimes. Or some things that are not really good. Maybe it's not all porn, but it's some things might have one or two things that will pop up in your feed. So after a few times, I just offed it. You know, but I've always been on the browser, always. It was just because of that, then I sort of updated my Facebook and got on. But now I've disabled it. And I've told Bu, I said, you know, don't use Facebook app. You go to Facebook on your browser. Because on your browser, you can't have access to the video from Facebook. You have videos that is sent by people on your timeline, right? But from there, you cannot go to the Facebook videos. You know how I know this? We went to a service at another church, and the pastor at the church told me, after I was, saw that, I was horrified. Then the pastor told me, he said, "Oh man, this Facebook app is very dangerous because we actually, you know, some wrong kind of videos come out." And that confirmed it for me. So, do you still love me? Amen. Let me just go back. But it's very important for us, if you cannot handle something, and you're saying, "Lord, I can't handle this. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with this." You know, you don't just cast it to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, and you don't do your part. Amen? You have to do your part. Somebody might say, "But Pastor, it's so hard." Well, let me tell you this. Could I be frank with you? In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, Jesus is not saying, pluck it out and cut it off, right? Otherwise, we'll have some people here, one-eyed people. "Hello, Pastor." Pastor might come back. "Good, brother, how are you?" Jesus wasn't saying, pluck out your eyes, cut off your hand. He was saying, it will take pain. It'll take some suffering to say no. Sometimes in your life, in order to walk a pure, holy life, you have to say no, and it'll cost you something. You know, even Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, "I keep my body under control." He said, "Lest that when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He says, I have to keep this body under control. He doesn't say, you know, the body is him. He says, I keep my body under control. Who's the I? The I is the spirit man of Paul inside him. And the I controls this body. This body has within itself the old nature, the Adamic nature, that is always wanting to commit sin. And so for us, sometimes it's a suffering and it's a pain to say no. And sometimes you have to, you know, go through that process of, you know, going home, emptying out your cabinet of all the cigarettes and the alcohol. You have to clean up your browser, get rid of Facebook app. If you have to, get rid of it. If you have to, off the internet, off it. 30 days, you know. Go to the public one. Why? Because people can see you in the public one. Wow. Do you still love me? Because at the end of the day, it deals with your soul. If you, you know, it actually says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?